We've gone through some terrible times, haven't we? We've gone through the Philippines being devastated. Hasn't that been hurtful? That has been so hurtful. And I really appreciate ADRA being brought on the scene there. We gave an offering. A week of sacrifice was the 9th. That was last week, was week of sacrifice. And this is very important, where we have money going to relief in this Typhoon Haiyan. It was in the evening, and my husband said to me, "Can you keep a secret? And don't tell Tanya. Her son Jack has just moved in with his girlfriend. They are needing to do that," he said, "because they need to save money." I registered that thought in my brain. And it was evening, so I turned down my bed and said my prayers. While I was saying my prayers, I heard the baseball game in the background. This was possibly the winning game. The Red Sox had it 4-0, and they had just changed pitchers because they were 3 on the bases. And finally, he came to bed, and we turned on a little God pod, which we have. It has scripture that it reads, and so we listened to the next couple verses, which were of a story. Then we turned it off and set it on the side, and we went to sleep. The next morning, when I got up to say my prayers, it just hit me. Did I pray for Jack? And I thought to myself, I don't know if I even prayed for Jack. And it disturbed me. I thought to myself, are there so many bad things happening in the world that I don't even get disturbed over it? That really was concern to me. When you think of this Filipino disaster, there was on the radio a storm chaser who actually went there before the storm and went on the beaches around that place to see what the place was like before the storm came through, and was going to monitor the storm. Where is a safe place for him to be if he's here through the storm and so on? And he said he saw so many people casually in different restaurants, and nobody seemed to be really anxious. Nobody's disturbed. Where is the policeman? Where are they? Is nobody going up and down the beach, the sirens going, saying that there's going to be a typhoon, a terrible typhoon, a super typhoon coming through? Is nobody going to be doing that job? I looked at a review article of a couple years ago, and it was written by a gentleman who was disturbed when he went into church and read the bulletin. He looked at the bulletin, and this was the announcement: pastoral visits in this church will be made only upon request. And he thought to himself, only upon request. What is the value of a visit? Is it not to be there when somebody is in trouble or to feel somebody's pain, to help them with their faith, to encourage them, to detect when something is going wrong, to strengthen them if they want a different lifestyle and to help them on their way to a better lifestyle? Is that not what the pastor's for? How can the pastor shepherd from the farmhouse? No. The next day, I saw something in CNN that really encouraged me. I don't know if you saw this picture of a bus driver going down the road. He was going down the road, and there was evidently some type of video camera in his unit, his bus. And he was on a bridge or of an overpass when he happened to spot a lady that was on the outside of the bridge rail, on the outside. And he softly brought his bus with passengers over to the side. And this big, burly black man, he descends the steps, goes out, goes across the sidewalk, and he reaches to the lady that's on the other side of the fence. Would you like help to get over this guardrail? And she turns around and he actually lifts her up over the guardrail. And you know that was not all. He sits down by the guardrail and she sits down with him. You know, I had tears in my eyes when I saw that. The topic that I have chosen for today is anything getting fixed? Does anybody care? And you know what? Sometimes we wonder. So many things are falling apart. Who's concerned about anything anymore? You just have a constant bombardment around you. I ran across an article that warmed my heart. It was an article of a lawyer who was called by a businessman and said, "I'm sending a lady over to you." So he waited and in came a lady. She had an oversized raincoat and she sat down. She didn't seem to want to look at the lawyer. And the lawyer talked to her, said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" "Yes," she said. She said, "I am employed at the bank, and I'm an assistant manager. And through the audit committee procedures, they've found that $10,000 is stolen from the bank. And I stole it, and I need an attorney." And he said, "Was there any more stolen?" And she said, "Yes, $40,000. He said, "How come? How did this all happen?" And she says, "Well, I just have anger in my heart. Things aren't going well at home. I was abused as a child. Things at work aren't going good. Nobody cares about anybody. And she said, that I stole. And he said, you know, I'm really not a criminal lawyer. I do other kind of work. But I can help you by finding a criminal lawyer for you. But all the time he was saying that, a Bible story was dinging off in his mind. He remembered about Peter. Peter and John, when they went to the temple gate called Beautiful, they saw a lame man there. And the lame man was asking for a donation. And he looked at the lame man and he says, look at me. And he looked at him expecting to find some money. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. And the lawyer thought to himself, I can't help this woman, but maybe I can help this woman. And he looked at her and he said, you know, I've made mistakes too. And I know that there is a God in heaven that helps when you make mistakes. I've gone to him. I've asked forgiveness. And he has seen me through. He will see you through this. You know what might happen. You know the FBI is going to have to get involved. So you know this was in the States. You know the FBI is going to get involved. They'll probably come to your house. They'll probably handcuff you. And they'll take you out through the door in front of all your neighbors. And you'll probably end up in prison over this. But he said, remember, pray to God. Confess your sins, and he will walk with you through it all. It was many years later, but he did get a note from her. She was happily married, and things were going well. But the note said, thank you so much for helping me at that time. Money can't fix everything. It might go a long ways, like in this disaster relief for the Philippines. These shoe boxes, that's a good thing, goes to help. And we need to help. I think of the Lord. I think of the Lord many times. And I think of the situations that we're going through. I think of this Rob Ford situation at CNN. And all the counselors are there in front of him. And they're pointing out the sins that he has done. And I think to myself, I wonder if when they knew him and that he was sinning and he was doing wrong things before, did they go to him before? I hope they did. I hope they went to him before and talked to him. I hope this is only after refusal after refusal after refusal to change. Because if it isn't, to me, it looks like a bunch of vultures grinding somebody down, down, down. Yes, they sinned. They sinned this way and that way. They're full of sin. But does anybody try to really fix it? Fix it kindly. There is a text in the Bible, a text in Luke. Let me see if I can find it for you. It's about the fig tree. And the Lord, when he was asked about the fig tree, I'll just have to tell it to you. The Lord, when he was asked about the fig tree, this is not the withering fig tree. No, that came later. This is the fig tree that was in the vineyard. And what had happened is the Pharisees came to him and said, "How come you eat with sinners?" And he told this parable. He says, there was a fig tree in a vineyard, and the owner of the garden was going to cut this fig tree down. He said, this fig tree hasn't produced fruit for 3 years. There's no point in just keeping it around. It should be cut down. But what did the gardener say? The gardener said, give me one more year. I will work at it for one more year. I will take the stones out. I will dig around it. I will put, mine says dung, but you know what that is, fertilizer. I'll put fertilizer around it. I'll do whatever I can for 1 year. Give me a chance with him. And after that, yes. After that, yes, it can go if it doesn't produce fruit. God is a God of judgment. Yes, he will bring everything into judgment for you and for me. The books will be opened. Everything that we have done will be there. But before the judgment, there is a lot of mercy. A lot of mercy. Go with me to Luke chapter 15. This is another story about him being with sinners and the Pharisees being so upset. And he tells a parable here. He says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? You know, that's a painful thing to go after someone. It's a painful thing. But what is life all about? Is life all about avoiding pain? No, life is not all about avoiding pain. Life is extending yourself to the greatest capacity for the glory of God by the grace of God. He went out. He went out through the storm. We sang several pieces about the shepherd. Your song in the Sabbath school was about the shepherd. And I really enjoyed listening to it. And I say to myself, every church member, every Christian should have a shepherd's heart. Every mother has a shepherd's heart, shepherdess heart. You don't want to see pain for your kids. God doesn't want to see pain for his kids. He knows that out there, if we go our own way, there is pain. Sin itself will bring the pain on. He doesn't want that for any of us. Some of us say, but I'm home. It's comfortable at home. I don't want to go out. It's cold. We do have 99. No, he went out. And when he had found him, he laid him on his shoulder. And he rejoiced. And when he cometh back to home, he called all his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. God loves everyone. He loves the sinner as well as the saint. But somehow he puts an awful lot of energy for the sinner, more than for the saint. I am sure of it. All the protection that he gives, many times there's been escapes. And many times a sinner has been brought back because they know that they should have suffered for their sin, and yet there was grace given and they didn't have to suffer totally for it. No, God in his love is reaching out, and we need to reach out as well to each other. I think to myself, where are we? When we think of these things, how do we handle them? Number one, who cares about anything anymore? So many bad things are happening, and you can't fix them all. I think there are some people who actually feel that way. They're not going to even start. It's too mind-boggling. Too many things to fix. Number two, I keep my distance from those guys. It's all I can do to keep myself on the right track. I think of the Pharisee and the publican that went to church to pray. And there was an elitism. I am here, and he is there. I don't want to be in that group. I don't want to be an elitist. Number three, we all sin. You do this, and I do that. I wouldn't want anyone meddling with my pot of faults, and I wouldn't meddle with theirs. Very seclusive. I have my own sins to deal with, and you have yours. But we'll all get along. We know you're a sinner, and you know I'm a sinner. Number four, let sleeping dogs lie. Keep sleeping. You know, that reminds me of a story in Pilgrim's Progress. And anybody of you that know me very much, you know Pilgrim's Progress means so much to me. But I don't know if you can see that picture from there or not. But if you can, I'll just let you see it. Christian is on his way. This is a John Bunyan allegory. Christian is on his way. He is running away from the city of destruction. And he has just met God, and that huge burden that he was bearing all this time has just rolled off his back. It has rolled down the hill, and it has gone into a cave, a deep cave. He was feeling that burden, and he wanted to get that burden off because he wanted to go to the celestial city. And he felt so relieved. He felt like jumping and hopping and running. And he comes down the hill and he sees three men leaning up against a tree, sleeping. One was Simple, one was Sloth, and one was Presumption. He couldn't see himself letting them sleep and just go on the way to heaven. No! He was going to help them, so he stopped and he reached down. He says, "Come on, you guys, come join me. You cannot sleep here. You know, it's late." And the devil, he's as a roaring lion, going about to see who he can devour. And at that, Simple rises his head. He says, "Lions?" And he looks around and he checks. And he looks at Christian and he says, "Lions? I don't hear no roar and I don't see no lion." So he fluffed up his pillow and he went back to sleep. And he said to Sloth, "Hurry, get up, go with me. The day is far spent. You need to come." And Sloth looked at him. He says, "Yes, I know. Yes." But he says, "You know, the road is very hard. And if I just had a little more sleep, I'll join you just a little later, but not right now." And then he went to Presumption. He says, "Presumption, come with me. You must come." And Presumption looked at him. He says, "We're pilgrims just as much as you are. In fact, I think I've been in this pilgrim way more than you are." And Christian started to take off his irons from his legs. He says, "Don't touch those irons." He says, "Well, you can't get on the way. You can't. We're on our way to the celestial city." He says, "Don't touch those irons." He says, "I'll take them off soon enough." Christian said, "But soon never comes." Presumption said, "I've seen it come and go many times." "Oh," Christian said, "I've got to be on my way. I hate leaving these guys here." You are going to help some people, and it won't make any difference. You will try. But Jesus said he was the cornerstone that was kicked around. He was not always appreciated. You may go to your children and you may say something, trying to warn them. But they say, "Not now, Mom, not Dad. No, not now." But as time goes on, don't give up. that cornerstone they will find, and they'll say, aha, maybe if I just put Jesus into my life, things would be better. And they never saw life come and be fruitful until that cornerstone was put back into place in their life. I want you just to turn with me to Malachi. Micah. I think it's chapter 6. Let me just see. Yeah, it's Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I hope you know this. I hope you know it by heart, because it's a very good verse. He hath shown thee, O man, and this is women's ministries, may I say, women too. He hath shown thee, O man and O women, what is good and what doth the Lord require of you, but to number one, do what? Do justly. Have you met the Lord? Are you walking in the way? Has Jesus meant something to you? Have you pled to him to help you get over some terrible things that have happened to you in your life as you looked inside? Have you had some corrections made? Do justly. Do you know his power to save? I do. I know his power to save. Number two, to love mercy. Love mercy. What does that mean? Stay home and do nothing? Do nothing? When you see, you won't be guiltless if you see it. But you say, I don't know how. Pray to God. Pray to God to tell him how. Do the best you can. God will hear you. Love mercy. You know what kind of love God has? God has eternal, redeeming love. Adopt that for yourself. My love will always be redeeming love. And number three, to walk humbly with thy God. You are never an elitist, and you will not be an enabler, allowing everything to happen, even helping people make mistakes. No. But you're going to be an earnest shepherd or shepherdess going out to help and bringing some home.